Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 147, verses 12 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthened the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we now enter into hearing your word, we pray that you will inspire us with your spirit, open our hearts and our minds, and help us, Lord, to understand the words that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel of John is a unique gospel. It doesn't follow the same storyline of the other gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, while being one of Jesus' disciples, has written something that is much more of a theological challenge than just an eyewitness account of Jesus' ministry or his death and resurrection. John, to remind you, is the disciple that is often referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So it does indeed appear that Jesus and John had a special relationship of affection and trust. I like to think that it makes John's gospel more personal in our own understanding of Jesus as a person. It is John, after all, to whom Jesus, while on the cross, entrusted the care of his mother after his death. In John 19, it says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his house." That passage is very special to me. It indicates to me that special relationship of trust and closeness between Jesus and John. And when I say that John is more of a theological challenge, I'm referring specifically to this passage that we have just read this morning, the first 18 verses in the first chapter. I take five key teachings from this, although there are more, but the five that I find to be the most instructive are these. One, it establishes the existence of the eternal Word. Number two, it identifies the Word as the creator of all things. Number three, it confirms that God is unrecognized because we cannot see God. Four, the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And thus, number five, the revelation of God is revealed through the person of Jesus Christ. All of that and more are tackled in these first 18 verses. Now, having said that, let me give a very quick Greek lesson here this morning, because I have always struggled to understand when it's referring to the Word exactly what that means. And what was the scriptural intention of that meaning. The first two verses are really key to understanding Jesus' deity. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So my question was always, what does the word "Word" mean? We tend to think only in terms of our own traditional definition of the word, what we have come to understand through our English translations. We need to broaden our minds and think outside of the box to understand what Scripture is saying here. The Greek for the word is logos, and it actually has two meanings, both of which are important. The first is the word as in the spoken word. The second meaning is reason, as in our mind's ability to reason and to create and to control. This is key to understanding the Greek word logos. It means to reason, our ability to create and control using our mind. And so in this context of John, the word takes on the meaning of the mind of God, which has the ability to reason and create and control. Now think of it in terms of Genesis and the creation story. God is presented as speaking the creation into existence. God speaks the word and it happens. Heaven and earth, ocean and stream, trees and grass, birds and fish, animals and humans, everything seen and unseen, called into being by God's word. If then it became necessary for God to take action to fix a fallen world, a world that has disobeyed and has sinned, it would be necessary for God to take that action through the word. The same mind of God, the same power of God that called the entire universe into being would need to act to fix the mess that was created by the fall. So parallel to the opening words of Genesis, John presents God as speaking salvation into existence. This time, God's word takes on human form and enters history in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks the word and it happens, forgiveness and judgment, healing and illumination, mercy and grace, joy and love, freedom and resurrection. Everything broken and fallen, sinful and diseased, is called into salvation by God's spoken word. It now becomes clear to us, knowing what we know, that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the one who has the power to reason and to create and to act in the same fashion as God. Jesus is the God of the beginning of time. Only now, John shows how he is God incarnate. God came to earth in the form of Jesus. So on this Epiphany Sunday, it was this manifestation of the divinity of the baby Jesus that the Magi saw when they visited the baby in the manger. They saw that indeed that child was divine. That child was the Word of God. Verse 14 of this first chapter of John will hopefully now make a bit more sense. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal, divine, creative Word became a person of flesh and blood in Jesus. In this Jesus, God's own glory is visible. And as Jesus will later explain, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." Thus, Jesus not only speaks the Word of God, he is the Word of God. Jesus not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. And Jesus not only does the work of God, he is God. For that reason, he is the source of boundless grace. Jesus is the source of grace and truth, as Moses was the source of the law. The implication is that in Jesus, a new order has arrived based on accepting God's grace in Jesus. Now, if anyone is confused about the word word and what it means, I'm not surprised. But in simplest terms, let's say it is the mind of God and all of the infinite power that comes with the mind of God. For us, as humble and narrow thinking humans, to believe in God and recognize God, it became necessary for God to come to earth in human form so that we could interact with him on a personal level. We needed to witness God's power to believe it. We needed to see God in a form that we could identify with. And so God chose to reveal himself, to manifest himself through Jesus. And when we see someone walking the earth doing these amazing things, we start to get it. God becomes real in a much more personal way through Jesus. And this is what the Magi, the three wise men, saw when they peered at that baby in the manger. They saw God. They saw the Word of God, and they knew of this child's divinity. It was a revelation. This morning, we will be moving to the communion table in just a moment. And this table became possible because of the Word coming to the earth in the form of Jesus. Because of Christ's suffering and death on the cross, God's Word made salvation possible. The Lord's Supper is the sign and seal of eating and drinking in communion with the crucified and risen Lord. During his earthly ministry, Jesus shared meals with his followers as a sign of community and acceptance and as an occasion for his own ministry. It is one of the great privileges we have as believers in Christ to further that sign of community and acceptance by coming together around Christ's table. It offers us hope for the future, and it acknowledges that the Word of God, the Word made flesh, indeed fulfilled God's commitment for salvation by dying for us. In the Gospel of John this morning, from verses 16 through 18, it says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known." So let us now have communion with the Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. And though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world, to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life, so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forever. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will pour out your blessing upon these your gifts of bread and the cup. We pray that you will inspire us by the power of your Spirit to love one another. And we pray, Lord, that always, always you will keep us mindful of the sacrifice that was made for each of us by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. All who believe in him are welcome at this table. This morning we will be serving by intinction, which means that our elders will have the elements at the front of the sanctuary. We ask that you come forward, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us. For those who might need or request gluten-free, I will be present down front as well with gluten-free. Come, all who believe, come to the table of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful that you sent your Son into the world so that we might have the hope that comes only through him. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we have received from you, and we thank you, Lord, this morning for the opportunity to come to your table and to commune with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are mindful of so many needs in our world today. This morning, we especially pray for peace. We know there are hostilities in the world that are beyond our control. Lord, I pray that you will speak to those who are in power and in positions of power. Give them reason. Give them compassion. Give them the ability to understand that we all want to live as a peaceful people. So we do, and Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, this morning we thank you for all of those who join us in spirit, even though they are not with us this morning. We pray for those who are traveling, those who are enjoying times of joy and celebration with family outside of this community. But we also know that there are those who are home alone, those who are lonely, those who are sick, those who are in need of your comfort and healing. And we do lift them to you, Lord. This morning we lift to you Jennifer Williams Ray as she faces surgery this coming week. We pray that she will feel your presence and that you will guide the doctors and all of those who are attending her, and that they will have your wisdom. And we pray, Lord, for full and complete recovery from her surgery, and we pray for healing. Lord, this morning we do lift up to you Jane Zitta as she continues to recover from her illness. We pray that she will be healed and with us very, very soon. We lift up Flo Richards as she continues to await further tests and as she faces the frustration of delay. And we just pray that you will be with her and give her peace and comfort, and also for Jim. And Lord, we know that she does have an appointment scheduled for this coming Friday, and we pray that, if at all possible, the results of the tests will be positive, that she will indeed be able to be treated successfully for her illness. And Lord, we lift to you Dave Warner, who is also facing surgery. And even though he is not known by some in this congregation, we know that he is yet a neighbor of ours. And we pray, Lord, for his safe surgery and his complete healing. Lord, we thank you for the joy of those family members who have recently passed. We pray for Tim and his family as they continue to grieve the loss of his father. But Lord, we thank you for the joy of the life of Tim's father and the joy that he brought to his children and all of his family. Lord, thank you for the way that you continue to lead us, to guide us. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name, the one who taught us to pray, that we now pray that prayer. We pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to Him.